5 minutes after the hour, welcome back. It's Thursday, February 25th. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Still got a lot to go here on today's show. We got Chris Dempsey coming up a little bit later on in the show. Got my Thursday night special. We're doing that in the next segment because we're moving around for Mr. Dempsey. It's what we do. So we got Thursday night special coming up next. So you won't want to miss that. I will start getting into Broncos free agent situation. This is an interesting text here. Hear me out. Melo may be one of the most overrated players of all time. He is held in high regard here in Denver because, let's be honest, the Nuggets really haven't had that many great players, especially compared to some of the other franchises. Melo was completely a one-dimensional player. When they gave him the ball on the wing, you could go to the fridge and get a beer and be back in time to see his 15th jab step before he took a shot. If you want to ring of fame him or something, or a banner with his jersey on it or something, that's fine, but raising just a jersey to the rafters is a huge deal. Should only be for the elite and only when also retiring that number. Personally, I don't think any of the Nuggets numbers should have been retired. I'm going to go Alex English there. And like, but see, you're saying that raising the jersey means you're retiring the number. Then what's that for coaches? You know, Doug Moe, they just put his number of wins up there. If that's the rule, then it's a silly one. Because you should still be able to, like, do the Nuggets have a ring of fame? Is there a ring of fame at Ball Arena? Man, I haven't been to a, I guess I haven't been to a live Nuggets game in a while. It's like their, I guess it's their Hall of Fame. But where, like, I would want to put that out for everybody to see. I don't know if they actually have, like what the Broncos have. Like, what I love about most football teams is you go into the arena, and like the Broncos, for example, you look around and you see all the great names, and they're always remembered. They're always honored. And that, to me, really, it just makes the organization seem more historic because you're seeing all these greats. Now, Dixon, you have a point. Like, the Nuggets don't have a lot of great history. It's just, that's to the bottom line. You know, they've been to the Western Conference Finals 3 times. And see, I tend to look at that and go, all right, that's the best this organization has been. They make it very close. Do you have to be a championship? Do you have to win championships in order for your name to be honored amongst Nuggets greats? No. But you have to do some big things while you're there. And I think Alex English being an 8-time All-Star, going to the Western Conference Finals, I mean, he had to get through some pretty stiff competition when he played, too. So, like, I think that, but again, should people still be able to wear number 2? Yes. I think you should be able to wear those numbers. Fat Levers, number 12. David Thompson. And these are all rightfully so. Like, absolutely. Number 33. Byron Beck, 40. Dan Issel, Dikembe Mutombo. These are all great Nuggets, but, you know, the Nuggets don't have the highest of standards because they just haven't achieved that much success. Hopefully that changes with Nikola Jokic, but we'll see. I'm of the mindset, like, you know, because we always do this debate, right? Who's the greatest Nugget of all time? And it's usually, to me, it's always between Alex English, Carmelo Anthony. And now, I mean, honestly, it's Nikola Jokic. He's already passed up most of those guys. In fact, he might have already passed up because he's almost achieved what they have achieved. Not the All-Star games, but he's on his third. He needs to go to 5 more to tie Alex English. But I do think that, you know, again, I think there's this discussion that needs to be had about retired jersey numbers and honoring them. But if we are going to retire number 15, you know, you make some kind of amendment to that and say, Melo, we'd love to honor you, man. Obviously, you were still playing while Joker got into the league, so we're not going to retire you. If we want to do a ceremony, we want to retire number 15, we want to raise your jersey to the rafters, we want to do all that stuff, but you got to let the Joker hang on to it. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301, and then you retire number 15 twice. I just think the idea of retiring jersey numbers is silly. Raise their jersey with their number on it. But you're not retiring. I get it. It's semantics, and you guys don't like that idea. Melo might not crack the top 12 in Boston or LA. I don't think so. I mean, Melo was a hell. You say he's one-dimensional, but that one dimension was really good. In fact, that second quarter between the Nuggets and Portland, when he went off, that looked like old school Melo, where he would just take over a game. He certainly can't move like he used to, and that scoring's not as consistent as it used to be. But he's still got, you know, when you saw that, that reminded me of vintage Carmelo Anthony. I remember that, and I was like, this guy could take over a game. You know, unfortunately, he just wasn't Kobe Bryant. He wasn't Spurs Big Three type material. And that was, you know, that's always going to happen. You know, when you don't have the top tier players, you're always going to run into buzzsaws at the end of the season in those playoffs, in those first rounds, second rounds, whatever. And certainly Melo did a few of those. There were some letdowns, like losing to Utah the year after they went to the Western Conference Finals. That was a letdown because you were definitely supposed to beat Utah. And you could actually see Melo frustrated, visibly frustrated with the fact, with how they lost that series. But I mean, as far as honoring the guy, yeah, I think however you do that, and not just like in your own books, not in your back office, you have a wall of fame that nobody can see. That's the beauty of it. You live on with the fans. You live on in the stadiums. So if I'm a great player and you honor my name, my name's going up somewhere in that stadium. And yeah, while I tend to agree that I don't think any of these greats that we talk about with the Nuggets are necessarily NBA greats, I do think Alex English is one of those, though. Dikembe was a defensive player of the year, Dikembe Mutombo, but he didn't play that long for the Nuggets. So yeah, I would like the standards to change a bit. But I mean, as far as retire, don't you think that if they kick, because Melo said he wants it to be retired in Denver. That's where to do it. He'd rather it be there than New York. I mean, can you retire? But I don't know. But I think he'd rather it. He said, you know, that's where it all started and it makes sense to do it there. He said that about 2 years ago. And don't you think that he'd be reasonable if they, like, they're going to honor you, man. You're going to live forever in at least one team, an NBA team's history as their greats. Don't you think he'd be willing to come to the table and go, yeah, let Joker wear it until he retires, man. He's going to be a league MVP someday. I don't know, though. Maybe that would be a sticking point for him. But that would be the way I would do it, if that's how it has to be. I mean, come on, Melo, you're saying that he was overrated. The Nuggets were nothing before him. You're always talking about, Dixon's always talking about, like, free agent beacons. Well, wasn't Carmelo kind of a free agent beacon for this group? I mean, once he started rolling, this team started getting, they were legit. Marketing around him grew. And, you know, it was something where people looked at this team and they weren't a joke anymore. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I mean, that very first year with the Nuggets, I mean, boom, they go from 17 wins to 43 wins. And, I mean, that's got to say something. And then I do think other teams started looking at the situation going, wow, they've got a legit all-star. We want to go. Now, this wasn't that. The NBA now definitely is like, let's get together and, you know, forget all these superstars in one setting and take over. That wasn't quite what was going on at that point. But still, it was, I mean, you look at their roster in 2003, 2004. And you didn't have Kenyon Martin yet. So you had Marcus Camby, who was a great, an excellent defensive player, really off the ball defensive type player. You had Birdman, Melo, John Berry, our boy Ryan Bowen was on that roster. That's hard to believe he was on that roster. Earl Boykins, Francisco Ellison, Nene was there, Vashawn Leonard, Andre Miller, Rodney White, Skeetis Vili, yeah, he was supposed to be a big-time player, too. So you didn't have Kenyon Martin yet. You got him the next year. That was the big free agent pickup. You know, that was the one, we did the poll question, you know, what was the biggest free agent pickup? And Kenyon Martin is right up there with Paul Millsap. In fact, with the way it all kind of worked out, Martin wins that battle now. So he became kind of a free agent beacon, too. I mean, he was that big of a player for Denver. So George Karl even tweeted about it earlier today. He said a lot of people have been asking about Carmelo Anthony every time. This happens every time he comes to Denver and plays. He said, here's what I know about Carmelo. He took a joke of a franchise and made him legitimate. And that's George Karl, a guy that I have a lot of respect for. All right, 15 after the hour, Colfax, we got to get to it. When we come back, I'm going to get my Thursday night special. We'll look at some of the Broncos free agents. Should there be more priorities that, other than just Justin Simmons as far as unrestricted and restricted free agents? What does the future hold for guys like Philip Lindsay, Jake Butt, Troy Fumagalli? I mean, there's a lot of guys that are names for the Broncos, but I don't know how much you really want to try to hang on to some of those names. We'll talk about that next. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Chris Musa Agency, Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Thursday. Not so special. Thursday.
Gotta love Thursday nights. It's always fun, man. They call me Mr. Thursday Night, but I can admit when I'm struggling a little bit. February's been a little bit of a dip for me. January was absolutely beautiful. It was wonderful for me. February's tough. I got to win tonight just to get back to a 500 record in the month of February. So this is an important one. One that I've been looking at for a couple of days now. I mean, there are some big games on. A lot of fun games tonight. I mean, Denver plays Washington, and, you know, on paper it looks like, oh, Denver, Washington, that's a bad. Washington's won five out of their last six, including beating the Lakers, Blazers, Celtics, and the Nuggets. I'm telling you, Washington's going to make the playoffs. That game's interesting. UNC's back at it in Big Sky Conference play against Portland State tonight. So that's a good one. That's on KFKA tonight. It's a lot of fun games. But I'm looking at this one, Colfax. Boise State, San Diego State. You got the number 22 team, ranked 22nd in the nation, San Diego State, playing host to Boise State in a smoking hot Mountain West Conference battle. That means so much to Rams fans. Because, yeah, whoever wins tonight, you're rooting for them to lose the next night. The Aztecs are 6.5-point favorites on their home court. And they should be. They're so good at home. This is a tough-minded team. This is a great defensive team. Boise State's an interesting one. You know, at the very beginning of the season, they barely, you know, they lost by 10 to Houston, a fairly good team, pretty good team. And then they battled it out. But then they kind of got in. They got swept by Nevada. But they did just sweep Utah State, which was big for them. So Boise State, they're good, really good. San Diego State's been so tough. When you look at some of these great players, Derek Alston, 18 points a game. That guy's an NBA talent for the Broncos. And then you got Matt Mitchens, who's playing better every single night. I think he's averaging about 12 points per game, but they're kind of a deep basketball team. That's what we saw in that CSU series, their depth. It's going to be a great battle tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. Whoever I pick to win tonight, I'm picking to lose the next night, the next game. And that might be more wishful thinking for Colorado State. I like the Broncos.
Hold on to your butts.
Bronco. Ford Bronco.
Lob pass, Kata, catch and bucket. Hey! Just like that.
Blazing a new trail of excitement.
Ejap gets in. He scores.
Ejap's good.
A rough, tough, go anywhere, climb anything.
Ejap cut off, falling away. Buckets. Nine for Alec Ejap.
A new V8 Bronco.
Kata, 9 of 12, 18 points at the rim.
He just went that route.
Three on the way. Got it. Boy, is that pretty. 4-point lead. Big time win. Boise State.
You went that route. Okay, I like it.
Change it up.
You changed it up. You didn't go with horses. Well, kind of.
They were in the background a little bit.
They were running in the background. Yeah. Okay, well.
Alongside the
Ford Bronco. Yeah. What year was that commercial?
66.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Old school.
I like that. That's good.
Something different.
That's something different. Changing it up. Big Mountain West game tonight. But I'm liking Boise State to pull off the upset. I'm not even taking points. I'm taking the Broncos to win this thing. And then, yes, on Saturday at 2 o'clock, then I'm going to need San Diego State to win that game. And then all CSU's got to do, they win out, it's theirs. It's theirs for the taking. Three bad teams and one okay team, it's right there in front of you. This game is so much impact tonight. Should I text Coach Medved tonight? About 7? Coach, you watching? You know they're watching this one. You know that all Rams fans, players, coaches, they're going to be glued to this one. Because they'll probably, the way it's going to work out, they're going to play at least one of these teams in the Mountain West Conference tournament. I mean, again, it's not all lost if the Rams don't win the regular season title, because they can go in. And again, that doesn't guarantee the at-large bid, but it kind of does, especially this year. I think it will. Yes, Colfax.
And I think I just saw another headline that the NCAA is working out a kind of a fill-in system. So if a team is forced out due to COVID, they're going to have like backups. They're going to have step-up teams.
Wow.
So I wonder if that would...
I'm curious to see if that will happen, if it's actually going to happen, because they're going to be testing for like several days leading up to it. But it could, that's what I worry about, is if you get to that situation in the tournament, you got a team up there you're playing, and they get a COVID scare or COVID issue, and that's it. I mean... So they got a plan, putting a plan in place where basically a team that didn't make it in would suddenly get to be in.
Mr. Mark Johnson retweeted it, actually. Just saw it. NCAA.org, they announced a contingency plan for tournament teams forced to withdraw due to issues related to COVID.
Yeah, very interesting.
I wonder how that would affect. It just opens up potentials for the tournament.
Yeah, more chances to get in. Well, that makes you wonder if like a Utah State, who's probably out, would have a better chance of getting in because
at that
of that.
Point, yeah.
Odds are they're not going to have, but they might. They might have some, because that was Mark that we asked that, wasn't it? We talked about what's the protocol in that situation? Because you're not postponing. You can't, because everybody else depends on that because the next round. I mean, that first weekend, you start Thursday and the winners play Saturday. You keep going into that 4-day span. So you're not going to be able to postpone.
Otherwise, you'd be postponing for like the rest of the year.
Right.
Trying to push it out
another week. Yeah. And then that's not what they want at all. So
crazy.
I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, they're going to be kind of in a bubble, not like the NBA bubble, though. No, it's going to be, you're going to be, I think, yeah, Mark and I talked about that last week, Colfax. It's like, you're going to trust, you got to trust these kids. And you got to hope that nobody's selfish. And going out and bringing it in, whatever, because they will shut you down. Whether we agree or disagree of how they're handling all the COVID stuff, whether we can all agree to disagree on that, these will be the rules for the NCAA tournament. If you get it, if somebody gets it, they go contact tracing, and if they trace back to you, you're done. I would imagine forfeit, because you're not rescheduling. There's just really no way to do it. First Advantage text line. 970-478-1301. I am pretty nervous about CSU's game, and I'm debating whether to go as a media member Saturday. I might go. I kind of feel weird though. Like they're not allowing fans, and even though they kind of, I don't know the colors. I don't know how that goes. The color code for who's approved and stuff. But I think CSU could have fans in the stands if they wanted to. A couple, but they went ahead and just said, "Man, we're coming this far. We're not going to do it." All right, whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I stopped following. I thought we were the safer at home thing, and then it turned into color coding, paint by numbers, because we're all too stupid to know. Like, that's how it started, wasn't it? Safer at home. Be cool to your neighbor. Safer at home. Stay at home.
Lockdown.
Lockdown. 15 days. And then it was purple and blue and green and rainbows and I... I'm like, I don't know, man. Just tell me where I can go. Can I go to work or not? Okay, then I'm going to go to work. Can I go eat in that place? Oh, no? Okay, fine. I keep seeing all these reports. Oh, we're now, it's like stars rating now, too. It's like a star rating.
Okay. Oh, yeah, five star.
Five-star
rating.
What the hell's
what?
That?
Like individual establishments can apply for something that beyond?
Even beyond what you're in?
I think so.
Yeah. It went from a couple of key phrases to color coding to stars, and now I'm just very confused.
Just curious. Are you still washing your hands? Because I haven't heard wash your hands in a while.
That's true. Should we not be washing our hands?
They haven't said.
Well, then I'm not. That'll shave off about 30 seconds. I don't. If we don't need to, they're not doing those how-to videos anymore.
They're not.
No. Remember that?
Yeah.
When that first came out, they had how-to videos on how to wash your hands. I'm like, apparently I've been not using water or soap. I just use air. I just kind of do this number.
Rub it around.
Yeah, that's good. Wiping them on my pants and away we go. And I shake hands and I things have changed. But I don't know. I don't know how you. I feel for these college. I remember talking to Coach Medved, you know, off the air, just about. He's not complaining or anything, but it's like the challenges are there. The challenges are. It's not just about your team anymore and taking care of your players when it comes to school and basketball and being a good human being. It's about COVID too. I got to be very careful. We got to be careful with the masks because everybody, including myself. We're all judging you when you wear the masks, when you're on the floor, if you're a coach. And as soon as you take that off, every one of us is like, he's not even wearing it. He's yelling. But so you got to know that coaches hear that. It's the ones that are very vocal about wear your masks. And then you see them on the floor when they take it down to yell at somebody. It's like, see, because no one can hear you yell. So you're doing what's necessary. And you're pulling a mask down. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We'll catch up with Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from our Auto Collision Specialist studios. And joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, like he does every Thursday, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, I want to get into Nuggets Wizards tonight. The Wizards are an interesting team, so I'm still a little concerned about this one tonight. It should be fun. But we're having this debate, as we always do, Chris, when Carmelo Anthony comes to town.
Yeah.
And fans are just like, I guess they're split. I don't know. Today's been interesting. But I wanted to clear things up with you because I like the idea of still honoring players and putting up some kind of jersey or banner honoring a Carmelo Anthony. But I also don't want to say, hey, Nikola Jokic, you can't wear number 15 anymore. So where are you with that? Does the NBA basically have, if we're going to raise your jersey with your number, that essentially means we're retiring your number?
Yeah, that's what it means. And what Nikola Jokic having that number 15 also means is probably Carmelo Anthony's number will never be retired in Denver, because that honor is going to be saved for Nikola Jokic at some point in the future. So, that's, you know, you usually if you had, let's just say Carmelo's number was already in the rafters, and now Nikola Jokic is coming along and he wants to wear number 15, like he has to have number 15. Then he could ask, you know, Carmelo at that point in time if it was okay, and we've seen that happen in some sports and some other sports where the guy whose number's retired says, hey, you know what, it's fine, wear it, but that's pretty rare, and you know it really does. I don't know what you would do. I mean, if you're the Nuggets now, obviously you're not going to retire Carmelo's jersey, but you might come back and honor him in some way. If that's what you want to do. I mean, maybe that's not what they want to do ever. You know, I mean, they were pretty quick to give away that number.
So, yeah, true.
You know, so, but that would be their only recourse if at some point in the future they wanted to say, all right, let's have Carmelo understand that We appreciated what he brought to this franchise for the time that he was here. Then they'll probably just bring him back and do something similar to what they did with Fat Lever, Mural and, Carmelo Knight and whatever else. So, but again, that's assuming that they would even have, they would even want to do anything like that.
Chris, this is probably a stupid question. It's just been a while. Do the Nuggets inside Ball Arena have like a Ring of Fame type deal, or is it just the retired jersey numbers?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's just the retired jersey numbers. So, like the Bronco Stadium has that Ring of Fame in it. It's not the same because the Ring of Fame is a little bit more okay. Now if the Nuggets did have a Ring of Fame, that would be something that they could put Carmelo into.
Yeah,
that would be, hey, you meant something special to this organization, and we're putting your name up in this arena somewhere. But they basically have retired the jerseys of their Hall of Famers and Doug Moe and Dikembe Mutombo. So, that's the only space that the Pepsi – well, Ball Arena. almost got
you got
me on
it,
that
man.
One.
Yeah, it yeah. happens maybe once a year. There it is. That's the last one. Chris, with that, I guess that's where I don't know if it's not common practice with other NBA teams, but I'm never big on retiring numbers necessarily, unless it's like a Kobe Bryant situation. Obviously, that makes sense. Because eventually, if you're a great organization, you could retire 20 numbers, 30 numbers, and you're going to get to the point where you run out. And that would be a good problem to have. But this is why I like the Ring of Fame, or even when we asked the question, which just lit everybody on fire, is should they retire his jersey? And in my mind, I'm thinking, what's the harm in raising the jersey with Anthony's name on the back? And it's basically a way to honor one of the greats. Either way you want to slice it, one of the greats for the Nuggets. But it's too complex, and that's where it's like, man, put up some nameplates and let's get a Ring of Fame going around Ball Arena.
Yeah, and Carmelo's is multi-layered, right? Because he came in and he really did resurrect this franchise.
Yeah.
He just did. But then he left in a manner that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And so you had a lot of angst, surrounding that. And then you have Nikola Jokic come along, and he is beloved, there's, you can't find a single person who would speak ill about Nikola Jokic. And so now it looks like, well, no, number 15, that's something that's never going in the rafters for Carmelo. I mean, if you were on the side of no for Carmelo Anthony, you're really on the side of no now, because Nikola Jokic has that number, and that's the number that you want to save for Nikola Jokic when he does go and put into those rafters. And so, yeah, there's so many layers with that, man. It would be nice to see. I mean, but NBA teams, that's not a thing with NBA teams. They usually just honor their it's mostly honoring their Hall of Famers, and then maybe in the case of a couple of other franchises, it's a very important player to where they are as a franchise now. But mostly you have Hall of Famers, and I mean that's why you have so many Lakers and so many Celtics up there in the rafters for those individual teams.
It's an interesting concept. And I was thinking too, Chris, I was texting you back and forth this morning. What if they do this? What if it's like, hey, Carmelo, we will agree, we're going to retire your jersey, your number, but you got to agree that Joker gets to wear it until he retires, and we're going to double retire it. Is that too complicated?
Or you know what? Or maybe you retire a blank jersey with his name on it.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, that might be a way, that'd probably be the best way to do it. I don't know. I don't know of a scenario where that's happened, but I mean that seems to me to be, it would be a way to honor Carmelo Anthony, not retire the number, and then retire that actual number when Nikola Jokic's jersey goes up into the rafters, and that'd be a way to do it both ways.
Yeah, I mean we can make this complicated as long as we like. I think it's important. I do think it's important to, you want to honor your history, and for the Nuggets with no titles, I know it's not like Boston, it's not like LA, but there's some great Nuggets, and like you said with Melo, that story is so unique, and that's why I honestly kind of laugh when people are so hard on Carmelo. He did re-sign with the Nuggets once. He did want to stay here and build. But there just was a lot of different factors. And the Nuggets ended up getting what you might call a king's ransom in that trade. As we look at Jamal Murray, that was part of that with the draft pick. I just think he changed this franchise. Even when he wasn't here, he changed this franchise.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're of a certain age, and you can remember what the Nuggets were. Okay, so let's put it this way. After they beat the Seattle Supersonics in 1993, the first eight seed over a one seed, the Nuggets did nothing until Carmelo Anthony came to town. It was like a decade full of nothing and very bad losing records. It wasn't even as if they were mediocre. They were bad. And it was year after year after year after year of losing and losing and messing up draft picks and all these kinds of things. And you had no idea when this team was ever going to come out of that general malaise. And for, you know, even in the draft that Carmelo was selected, it was luck, man, because Detroit should have picked Carmelo Anthony. Mm. But they didn't. They picked Darko Milicic. And so that left Carmelo Anthony, who had just won the national title at Syracuse and looked fabulous. It left him for the Nuggets. And the minute he got to town, the Nuggets went to the playoffs. I mean, that's what it was. And, you know, and then not only that, they became, by the time that the Nuggets were reaching, when he got them to, he and Chauncey got them to the Western Conference Finals in 2009, I mean, he was a household name. The Nuggets were a household name, not just in Denver. They were widely respected as a franchise, as a team that you had to really deal with. They had a great coach at the time in George Karl, had these just a great collection of players led by this guy who's certainly going to the Hall of Fame, and Carmelo Anthony. And I think it's hard if you never lived through those years where the Nuggets were terrible. It's hard to understand just what he meant to the franchise, no matter how it was that he left Denver. And so I think for me, because I understand what that was and what it became after he arrived, to know that how that players move around all the time for all kinds of different reasons, it would be hard for me. And I'm a native Coloradan. I grew up here, and I love the Nuggets and all this. It would be hard for me to hold an eternal grudge against Carmelo Anthony, just knowing the landscape of free agency, knowing the landscape of players moving around, and then understanding what he meant to this franchise, the depths that he brought that from to get it to nearly an NBA Finals. I mean, it's really an unbelievable thing when you go back through the history and you have lived through some of those really, really down years.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Sometimes you don't have to look at the playoffs and all the success that Melo had while he was here. You just look at how bad they were. I mean, they were the laughingstock of the NBA. People went to NBA Nuggets games to get Bulls memorabilia or whatever, different teams. Chris, switching gears tonight. Nuggets, heavy favorites tonight against Washington. Washington's an interesting team to me. They've won five out of their last six. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Blazers. This is a team that I think is kind of deceptive that might get it right. That seems like they're kind of starting to get it right.
Yeah, and, you know, for them, so much of their season was wrapped up in COVID and not having guys and having games postponed and then having a couple of season-ending injuries to a couple of players that they thought would be significant players for them. It was a really bad start on a number of levels for the Washington Wizards. Well, okay, so now they start to get a little bit more healthy. They get their guys back. They actually can practice. And they're starting to play and get chemistry together. And they're starting to look like the team that they thought they might be, which was let's put it this way, a competitive team, a formidable team on a level that obviously they had not reached prior to this latest stretch of basketball. And, yeah, I mean, they are a high-paced basketball team. And right now they're shooting the heck out of the basketball. So in this six games that you just mentioned, they're shooting as a team over like 51% from the field. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it was like six players shooting 48% or better from the field. And so right now, the baskets are looking like oceans for them. I mean, they are just dropping them in at a very high rate. And for the Nuggets, you know, they went to Washington and lost, and you mentioned some of the teams they beat. It's not like Washington's beating slouch squad. They're beating really good teams. And for the Nuggets, they, you know, a couple of players that they had in that game, Gary Harris and Jamichael Green, well, you know, now it becomes a little bit more difficult. Those, obviously, there's no Gary Harris, and Jamichael Green, we'll just see. But it's tough when you're trying to guard a Bradley Beal. And they did a good job of that. He was 8 of 20 in that game that they lost. But he's been on fire, and you know he can light it up for 30 at any point in time. And so this will be a very boy, you better strap it up, because it could be an interesting game.
Yeah, no question about it, Chris. Up against the break, man. A couple games left for the Nuggets to get before the All-Star game. Wow. I'd love to see some positive games here. You know, finish, you know, maybe the next, find a way to win these next, you know, four out of the next five or six, whatever. I'll be curious to see how it wraps up. Chris, always appreciate you, my man. Thanks for taking us there with Melo. Fun topic. Never goes away.
Yeah, it is a fun topic, and I'm glad I can lend a little lend a little perspective. I don't know what the swath of collars or textures. I don't know what the general sentiment out there is, but it's more complicated than just a guy who left town at a certain time.
Yeah, 100% agree. Yeah, today, for some reason, it's like most are like, no, don't even touch that. Don't even talk about honoring Melo. It's crazy to me. But I'm with you, Chris. Appreciate you, my man. We'll be looking out for you guys tonight.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. 49 minutes after, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up with what's on TV, what's on KFKA tonight as well. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
About a minute left here on the show, man. Time flies. Kelly Lyle, shout out to him for joining the show today. Chris Dempsey, as always, love the lineup on Thursdays. Boise State, I'm taking that for my Thursday night special. That's tonight. That's another big game. That's going to be on FS1. What else is on locally? Well, here tonight, 6:30, pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock. The UNC Bears taking on Portland State, getting them back at it in conference play tonight. So will Bodie Hume play? We don't have a lot of information there, but we will be on the lookout for sure. 7 o'clock, Denver plays host to the Washington Wizards. Now, again, Washington, that record, don't let it fool you. They have just beat a bunch of monster teams in their last six games. They won five out of their last six games. So Washington, I do feel, is going to be a playoff team. Nuggets are going to be, you know, this is going to be a tough test for them. They're favored by like 7.5, which is crazy to me, but it should be a good one. And then 7 o'clock, USC and the Buffs. Colorado going at it tonight. This is a huge opportunity for Colorado. I mean, USC's in the top 20. If the Buffs can find a way to win, they were receiving votes. Even after losing to Cal, they've still been receiving votes. If they can pull off the upset, which I think they are favorites, they're at home. Tad Boyle's good at home. His coach is exceptionally well at home. And so this team, we'll see if they bring their best. This would be a huge victory and give them a lot of momentum as we get closer to the Pac-12 tournament and, of course, the big dance. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget UNC Hoops tonight on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. Good night, Northern Colorado.